of the True Church of the Living God. So if you want to listen to it, you can listen to it for our next quiz or test. Want to write that down maybe?
What's it called?
Five Definite Identifications of the True Church of the Living God. If you look up five definite in the table app, it'll come up. Pretty unique title, but that's what our next test will be on. There is not a date yet. But I think that's a really good sermon because, of course, you know, we go to church. So it'd be good to know what Brother Branham says are the five definite identifications of the true church of the living God. And to listen to that and listen to even just, and it's very, it's a very Bible-heavy sermon as well. So I think that'd be good to focus on the scriptures that he uses and see how he's taking these things out of the Bible and explaining them. Matthew. All right, Matthew 16. Let's power heads. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to gather in your presence, Lord, just to be here with you, Lord, to be with believers, Lord, and just to strengthen the faith, Lord, and join our faith together, Lord, to praise you and worship you, Lord, and to get closer to you. Just pray for this Sunday school lesson and just pray for the song service upstairs as well as the preaching, Lord. Pray that you have your preeminence and your will to guide us throughout all these services, Lord, and the worship service as well. And just have your way with us, and you lead us and guide us in all things, Lord. Forgive us of all things, Lord. Help us to live closer to your word day by day. And help us to live holy and godly as Christians, Lord. In the person of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13. A sermon that we should be pretty familiar with at this point. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we've read the scripture many times before. But he asks him, "Who do people say I am? And then who do you say I am?" And he talks about how Peter didn't get his revelation from man, from flesh, but he got it from the Father above who revealed it to him. So this is why, and at the beginning of this five definite identifications, Brother Branham uses this scripture because he's talking about the church and the order, and he's trying to go back to what Jesus said the church is supposed to be. Because he said, "Upon this rock will I build my church," and people will make it Peter, people will make it something that it's not, but the rock truly is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and that is the rock, and that is the foundation for what the church is built upon. So, five definite identifications. Brother Branham says, when he's starting off the sermon, he said there's five questions he's going to answer in the sermon. He says, "What is the church? Who set it up? What is its message? How do we become a member of it? And can we get to heaven without being a member of it?" So I wonder, even though we haven't gone through it, these are all questions that are answered within the Bible. So do we have answers for that? Like, so first question, what is the church? Do we have an answer? What is the church? We go to church, right? So what is the church exactly? That's okay. Brother Brennan will answer it in the sermon if you listen to it. So who set it up? Do we know who set up the church? Do we have any guesses as to who set up the church?
Pastor?
No. In terms of the Bible, who set up the church? Yes, God set up the church. Jesus set up the church. Because right here in the scripture we just read, he's saying, "Upon this rock will I build my church." So as soon as Jesus comes, he's building a church. He's building a church, and people are going to say that it's. And when he says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," people think in the physical, but he's talking about spiritually, the spiritual revelation, and not that it's going to be a physical church somewhere, but it's going to be upon this rock will he build the church. And what is the church's message? Do we know what the church's message is? That's okay. How do we become a member of the church?
Get born again.
That is right. You become born again. And how can we get to heaven without being a member of it?
No.
No, okay. No. Okay, good. So we got 3 out of 5. And you haven't even listened to the sermon yet. So you got 3 out of the 5 questions that he's going to answer in the sermon correct. So good job, guys. And he goes on to say, now the first place, the word church itself means the called out. So there's our answer to the first question is, what is the church? What church means called out. He goes on to say, now Israel was not the church of God as long as they were in Egypt. They were the people of God. And when God called them out of Egypt, they became the church of God because they were the called out. Now that still remains the same today. The word church means the called out ones. Those that have been called out, separated, made different. Now in the Old Testament, the known church was called the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. Now, I'm taking this from chronology of the Bible. The Old Testament, the church was called the kingdom of God. In other words, God is a king and the church is his domain. God's kingdom, Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's called the Messianic Empire. Oh, I like that, the Messianic. Otherwise, the Messiah's Empire, where the Messiah rules and reigns. No denominational barriers or nothing. The Messiah rules in his empire. Messianic empire. Therefore, church is not an organization. The church is not a gathering of people. The church is the people of God that's been called out of the world to serve in another kingdom. That's very interesting because we know that the story of the Israelites and when they were in Egypt and they were in bondage. And you know, Egypt is a type of the world, which is why the Israelites are the type of us as Christians, and Egypt is a type of the world. And so if we are in the world, as Brother Branham said, we are God's people, but we need to be called out. And how do we become called out ones? How do we become called out from the world? Well, we live differently, and that's how we're called out. So with the Israelites, it was literally, they had to be called out, and Moses had to come and say, let my people go, and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And then they had to be called out of Egypt to go, you know, towards the promised land. And similar to the Israelites, you know, when they're called out, they're not yet at the promised land. They're God's people, and then they become the church when they're called out, but they're not yet at the promised land. Even, you know, today, we are not, of course, we're waiting for the resurrection and the rapture and then the millennium and for heaven and all those things. So we're not quite where we want to be, but we are on our way there, and we are. That's why, you know, we have songs that say we're pilgrims, or this world is not my home. So right now, technically, you could say that we are in the desert. We are not yet at the promised land. We are not yet. We're seeking the city to come, as the scriptures say. So where we are is we're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're kind of in this desert. You know, this world is not our home. You know, we are called out from the world. We don't belong here. You know, if you're really a Christian, sometimes you don't feel welcome, and it's the way that you're treated sometimes, or even for what you believe. But ultimately, we're seeking a city to come. There's no lasting city on the earth, but we're seeking a city to come. We're seeking a place to go. We're seeking the promised land. So we're pilgrims, we're strangers. We're on the same journey that the Israelites were on, where the Hebrew people were on when they left Egypt. So if you're in the world, you know, then you're in bondage. But once you leave the world, once you're called out, once you dress different and talk different and act different and read the scriptures and study the word, then you're a called out people. Once your life resembles more Christ than it does the world. And that's when you enter the desert. That's why Brother Wade and many other ministers will say that, you know, once you get born again, it's not that, you know, life is going to be a flowery bed of roses, but actually when you're born again, you're coming out from Egypt and going into the desert. We're in the desert. We're looking for the promised land. We're on our way there. We're pilgrims and strangers, but we're not yet there. So it's not that, you know, it's not that Christians are called to an easy life, but we know that the Bible says many times that Christians will be persecuted, that we will struggle, that we will have, you know, struggles and trials and tribulations and things that we go through. But it's because we're in the desert. We're not home yet. This world is not my home. We are not yet home. So we are in the desert, the same way the Israelites were in the desert. But we're that way because we're a called out people. And that's why the word church means called out one. That's why, you know, even when the Bible says things like avoid even the appearance of evil, you know, and sometimes when we're Christian, you know, we need to be careful of how we present ourselves, how we talk, the things we do, because we don't want those things to resemble the world. You know, if there's a style going on, if there's something going on in the world that can kind of pull you away from the things of God, we always want to come back to God, because we're really supposed to be called out. We're not supposed to resemble the world. We're not supposed to, the things that we do, we should always be different from the world. Even Brother John talks about finances. You shouldn't handle finances the way the world handles finances and put everything on credit and not worry about that and just rack up debt. Or even the way we treat each other, we shouldn't be quick to anger. We should be slow to anger, slow to wrath, you know, slow to speak, as the Bible says. And be patient with people. And you know, in the state of the world is very selfish. It's very selfish, impatient. People want things done now. They're not worried about, you know, the people on the other end of those things. They just want what they want when they want it. And we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be forgiving, loving, caring, kind. We're supposed to be more patient with people, slow to anger. And we're supposed to, that's what really calls us out, is a differentiation. Of our attitudes and how we live our lives. So everything we do, we should do it as a called out people, but understand that we're not in a position of just being comfortable and being relaxed, and you know, we're actually in a desert. And that's why, you know, it's commonly referred to that this Christian walk is a fight. Because if you're in the desert, you know, the desert is not a place of comfort. It's not a place of lush greenery, not a place of you know, there's a lot of plants and food around, but it's dry. You can't hardly grow anything there. The sun is beating down on you. It's not a comfortable place to be. Even at night, it gets cold. In the night, it's really cold. In the day, it's really hot. It's a struggle to be in the desert, and that is the Christian walk. It is a struggle, but we're seeking a city to come, and we believe that we're being led to the promised land. But that is what identifies the church, is that the fact that they're called out from the world. And Brother Brown says, this would stand quoting a few months ago. Wife and I were going to a shopping center and we found a strange thing. There was a woman on the street that had her skirt on. Hard, you wouldn't believe it, but we actually found one. And the wife said to me, well, look at that. I said, she must be a Christian. She is so much different. It's a shame. The question arose, why is it, Bill, that we as Christians and this faith that we believe in, why is that we constrain our women to wear dresses, to act that way? It is not the people of other churches. They wear those clothes like that, immoral clothes. And why is it you couldn't say they were immoral? I said, that is true. I can judge no one. But to see them by their fruits, they are known. They may not actually commit the crime, but on them is a spirit that's driving them to immorality. So, but he's talking about him and his wife were out shopping and they saw a woman with a dress on, with a skirt on, and they thought, man, maybe she's a Christian, maybe she's a believer of some sort, and that's part of being a Christian, is being so different that someone can just spot you out in public, and maybe they can already tell that you have a certain belief, you have a certain set of beliefs, and they know that you're not like the world, that you're different from the world. And you know, and maybe with men, you know, we don't wear dresses, or we don't have. It's very common to wear pants, so maybe it's not as easy to spot out a message-believing man. But through conversation and through the character of a man, and through, you know, maybe someone were to talk to you, they should be able to tell that something's different about you. That, you know, you don't use certain words, or you don't make certain jokes, or you don't. There's certain things that you won't do, or certain that you won't drink, or you won't smoke, or you won't go out to party in certain places. There's going to be things about you that are different that will be very noticeable to people, that will set you apart. And that's what the church is. It's set apart. It's called out. We're not to be like the world. You know, sometimes it's very easy to get caught up in the trends and things that happen. Like, oh, well, this trend is going on, and or maybe a certain fashion trend or a fashion style, and it might seem fashionable. But ultimately, we need to be careful of those things. If it's imitating the world, we don't want to imitate the world. We don't want to be like the world. We're supposed to be called out. We're supposed to be different. The music, everything we do should be different from what the world does. And that's going to put us in the desert, but we know we're heading to the promised land. Brother said, "But as I travel throughout the world, I find every nation has its own spirit, and all the nations are controlled by the devil. All governments are ruled by the devil. The Bible says so. They fight, they war, and they will till Jesus comes, and he'll set up a kingdom that there will be no war. But Satan said that all kingdoms of the world was his, and he'd do with them whatever he wanted to, right in the face of Jesus Christ. And they're all Satan's instruments, Satan's kingdoms. Satan told Jesus, 'I'll give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me.' Jesus knowed he'd fall heir to them in the millennium, so he said, 'Get thee hence.' He knew that God would give him all those kingdoms, and they would be his, and they'll all be one kingdom. When you go into Germany, you find a German spirit. When you go into England, you find an English spirit. You go into Sweden, you find a Swedish spirit. You go to France, you find a French spirit. You come to America, you find an American spirit." I stopped at San Angelo, Rome, a time ago, and I wanted to see the catacomb, and to my surprise, and to rebuke, as an American standing before the catacomb gate where you entered in, said to the American woman, "Please put on clothes to honor the dead before you enter there." So Brother Ram's talking here about the different spirits, and every nation has a spirit. Every nation, you know, like we were just talking about the different places you can go to, and every nation has a spirit. And if you've ever traveled, you will know that every nation has a spirit. You'll know that when you go to a certain place, you know, everything they do there is different, but there's a certain spirit about it. And even as he's talking about, he went to the Roman catacombs, and there was a sign telling American women to put their clothes on. So that was the spirit of America, and still is the spirit of America. Is that, you know, the immorality and the the looseness of the dress and all those different things. It's the immorality and the perversion that's there. And every nation has a spirit. But as Brother Branham's saying here, every nation belongs to the devil. And he references the scripture where, you know, Jesus is being tempted in the desert. And Satan tries to tempt him with, you know, being able to rule over the world and all the nations. And he tries to tempt him with that. So Brother Branham's saying that there you can see that Satan is really the one who's in control of all these nations. So, and as the sermon goes on, Brother Branham's going to go more in depth on the issues with, you know, large organizations and organization in general. And this is a theme throughout his entire ministry, is that organization, just, it's not going to work. It's going to fail at some point. You know, if it's made by man, it's going to fail. All the kingdoms, all the empires, even as Solomon said, as we read in Ecclesiastes, all the great empires of the past, they all fail. They all fell. They didn't make it. You know, there's some empires that were very mighty that we don't even know about. You know, there's some that we know about, but there's some that we don't even know about because they just weren't even kept track of in the history books. But there's many that we do know about that we know fell and they no longer exist today. So any organization set up by man is going to fail. And that's why Brother Branham notices that spirit of organization is becoming stronger and stronger in the church and in the different denominations and the people. That spirit of organization is becoming stronger and stronger in the Catholic Church and the Methodist and the Baptist, all different things. It's becoming more about the organization than it is coming about Christ. And if you see churches today, they'll have many people at these churches, but there's not much of Christ being taught, and there's many things that are anti-Christ that are happening within the church that people are letting, you know, pass by because it's more about just getting people together than it is about them being called out. And that's why Brother Benjamin specifies that church is called out people. It's not just gathering people, because anyone can gather. Anyone can set up a place to gather. We can all just go to a restaurant and say, "Everyone meet me there," and we can gather. We can just gather at my house or someone else's house. But for us to be called out, our lives must be different. We can gather and claim to be Christians, and we can claim that we believe the Bible. But if when we come and we gather, we live, we do things that are against the Bible, we do things that are contrary to the teaching of the Bible, then we are not called out. We have gathered, but we're not called out. So church is not just a gathering of people, but it's people who are called out from the world, who live differently, who act differently, who talk differently, and all those different things. We treat each other differently, we forgive, you know, we try to help out where we can, and all the things that Jesus puts in the Bible, that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and all those different things. We need to make sure that we do those things. So it's not just about coming to church, it's not just about, you know, listening to the preacher, but it's actually about doing those things in your life. And that's why the new birth is so important, because once you get that, then you're going to live that way. It's not just going to be something that you come to church and you just come to church and you talk to church people, you talk to the pastor, you talk to a preacher, but you actually live according to the Bible in your own daily life. And that's what a called out people is. It's not just a gathering. And so, once again, be careful of that spirit that is on every nation. And then it's okay to appreciate where you've grown up or appreciate the country you live in, but be careful, because as Brother Branham's saying here, every nation is controlled by the devil. So if you swear your allegiance to a nation, just understand, you know, what's at the very top of that. And even we know the scripture says that our enemies are not of flesh and blood, but they are principalities and evil, spiritual wickedness in high places. So a lot of that spiritual wickedness in high places is coming at the top of those organizations, the top of, you know, different denominations, the organizations there, or even the organizations like the international organizations, or even the government. And we know that there's corruption in every government. Like there's not a single government in the world where there's not corruption. The seems to be the only differentiator is how well they're able to hide it. But we know that at the top of every denomination, the top of every organization, there is spiritual wickedness in those high places, as the scripture says. So be wary of that. And Brother Branham goes on to say, I asked a woman one time, are you a Christian? She said, I'm an American. Of course I am. He said, that has nothing to do with it. Brother Bosworth asked one night, said, are you a Christian, sister? She said, I'll give you to understand I burn a candle every night. Like that had anything to do with it, with Christianity burning a candle. Christianity doesn't consist of such things as that. And of the church, God doesn't consist of such makeup as that. Now, what makes the women, we never compel the woman to do that. We never compel our men not to drink, not to swear. We just preach the gospel and lay down the pattern of the Bible. So, you know, it's interesting to me, because Brother Branham will, he asked this question a lot to people, because he talked about it in his sermons a lot. Well, he'll say, well, ask someone if they were a Christian. And it's odd how many people don't just say yes to that question. He'll ask, are you a Christian? And they'll say, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. Oh, well, and just like this woman said, I'm an American. Of course I am. And someone else said, I burn a candle every night. And Brother Brown's like, that has nothing to do with being a Christian. None of that has anything to do with being a Christian. You know, it is baffling to see how many people don't just say yes to that question. And they have some other qualifier that they put before that. Before saying they're a Christian, they say they're a Methodist, which really shows the spirit that they have on them, is that, you know, before they say they're a Christian, they'll say they're a Methodist. But are you a Christian? You know, and why would you put that organizational title above following Christ? Because that's what a Christian is. A Christian is just someone who follows Christ. That's what the disciples were, Christians, because when Christ said, follow me, they followed. But people will refer to being a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever organization they're from, or Catholic, whatever it is, they'll refer to that before they refer to actually just being a Christian. It was always interesting to me when he talks about those situations. And saying, so a woman saying, I burn a candle every night. And I don't think we have a scripture for that. So I don't know where she got that from. And there's many things that people will do. And it's not by our works anyways. It's by, you know, us being born again. And Brother Graham talked, said, as you said, what makes the woman, what makes the men, what makes them not swear, what makes them not drink, what makes them... And he's saying the reason they don't do that is because we just preach the gospel. We lay down the pattern of the Bible. So, and this is something that, you know, sometimes maybe some overzealous Christians will try and do. They'll try so hard to get someone to change, and they'll try to, you know, really enforce something, and sometimes even maybe parents can be over stringent about rules in their household and or really try to force something on their kids. But or even if you just meet someone on the street and you try to talk to them and really try to force them to see things the way you see them, but you can't. It's not going to work that way. You just lay out the gospel. Remember what I'm saying? You lay out the gospel. You lay out the pattern of the Bible. And then, you know, when they see it, when it's revealed to them, then they will, then they'll change. That's what's going to change them. That's why Jesus is saying here, the rock of the church is revelation. You know, you can't force things on the people. Even in the Catholic Church, there's many times where the Catholic Church would actually go in different countries, and they would, even if someone was a Christian, if they weren't Catholic, they would get killed by the Catholic Church. So even if they claimed to be Christian, if they just didn't believe in the Catholic Church would kill them. And there's different scenarios with crusades and stuff like that in history, where certain Christian organizations will do things and they'll claim it's in the name of God, but it'll be contrary to what the Bible preaches. You know, so, and those different things, and it's usually due to an organizational power, and that's usually where Sir Brother Branham is talking against that, and is why he's showing that Christ, even at the genesis of the church, was not promoting that. He was promoting that you lay out the gospel, and that people will change when it's revealed to them. They have to have a revelation of it, because even if you force people to join the Catholic Church, if you force people to join an organization, if we were to force people to come to Lula and join our church, it wouldn't save their soul. They would just be, you know, someone going through the motions or doing what they think they're supposed to do to please us, which we're just people. And as Paul said, I can't be, once I become a pleaser of man, I can no longer be a servant of Christ. So we're not here to please man or even force other people to please us or be a Christian according to how we think is fit. But really, we're here to bring people closer to Christ and not try to force things on them, but bring them closer to Christ. And that's all time for today. So God bless you. Dismissed.